BBC Radio 2.
Right, so let us talk about whether people should be banned from smoking on hospital grounds. The National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, we call it NICE, is recommending that smoking shelters at hospitals in England are scrapped. And instead of helping patients to go out for a cigarette, staff should be encouraging them to quit. NICE Public Health Director Professor Mike Kelly, who we're going to speak to, has said, we need to end the terrible spectacle of people on drips in hospital gowns smoking outside hospital entrances. And this is such a common sight in the UK, there was even a song about it. This is the editors. That's what passes for a punk band these days, singing about smokers outside the hospital doors. Well, maybe you agree with the professor and you can't believe the NHS still allows people to smoke on its premises. Or perhaps you think it is unfair to expect smokers to go cold turkey just because they happen to be unwell in hospital. Any other time, not then. Do call us 0500 288 291 or email vine@bbc.co.uk. Let's hear what patients and staff are saying. Reporter Mike Thompson went to a smoking shelter at a hospital in South London.
I smoke, but no, I could smoke off the grounds. I mean, sometimes you can come down in the lift inside there, and if the wind's going right, you can smell the smoke inside, I'm sure, for the kids. And for people who don't smoke, it's not great.
You're a staff member. What do you think about that?
We're both staff members. We are all going to be outside there having a cigarette. And they can't stop that because it's your human rights. But they can find another way for us to get rid of our stress during the work, but you can't. You've got to give the staff some way of getting rid of their stress.
Exactly, yeah. I agree with my colleague here.
What about the idea of more effort persuading patients to give up when they're inside the hospital?
No.
You stop a gambling if he's got no money. I mean, I've been trying to give up smoking for years. Obviously, don't want to. It don't work.
Being told what to do, people don't like it.
People come into the hospital to look after themselves, not to get pestered by people telling them what not to do.
So some of the patients, but also staff, as you heard, saying it's their human right to smoke in the hospital grounds. Going to talk to the director of the smokers group, Forrest, in just a sec. But first, let us speak to Professor Kelly, NICE's public health director. You could just leave the smoking shelters there, because at least they're away from the hospital, Professor.
No, the idea here is to provide an environment in our National Health Service which will lead the way, lead the world in terms of making our hospitals completely smoke-free. This is not about pestering people and all that kind of thing. What it is about providing care. From the moment someone knows they're going into hospital or from the point at which they have an emergency admission, if they're a smoker, we don't leave them cold turkey. That's precisely the opposite of what we're recommending. We allow them to have the patches, the gum, the spray, and the counselling, which will help them deal with those cravings so they don't have to go outside and they don't need to worry about their smoking and they can get on with getting well once they're in the hospital.
And if they say, look, I've tried all that, but for whatever reason, I need to draw on a fag.
They may well say that, but that's the point at which the counselling kicks in. That's the point at which they're not trying to do it on their own, but they're doing it with the help of trained staff as part of the clinical pathway. You see, you kind of alluded to it in the introduction, Jeremy. In 1952, the first paper appeared, that's 61 years ago, linking lung cancer unequivocally to smoking. How is it that we've gone 61 years and still our major institutions providing care for people who are desperately ill sometimes, tacitly sometimes turn a blind eye to allowing smoking?
Why is the NHS, if you're talking about staff though, why would the NHS be any different from any big institution like the Army or the BBC, which you know, you have the rules on smoking in the building, you don't do it, but you walk outside the building, you can still light up.
Yeah, but if the buildings are in grounds which belong to the NHS, and that's what we're talking about here, clearly we can't talk about what goes on the street. But what we can do are those properties, those parts of the land which belong to the NHS is where this needs to be introduced and brought under control. You know, I mean, you've heard the statistics before, I'm sure, but 80,000 people will die in England this year as a consequence of smoking. There'll be 500,000 hospital admissions as a consequence of smoking. The National Health Service this year will spend around $2.7 billion treating people with smoking-related illnesses, and the costs of the economy are about another $13 million. at a time when the National Health Service is so strapped for cash, we can't afford to go on with that kind of expenditure. We need to bring it under control. And one of the ways of doing that is helping people who are desperately addicted to nicotine get that addiction under control.
Okay, do stay with us. Simon Clark is listening to that. He's director of the smokers group Forest. What part of that do you disagree with, Simon?
Well, where do I start, Jeremy? I mean, let's pick up a couple of points that Professor Kelly was making. First of all, he talks about that the grounds belong to the NHS. Well, I always thought the NHS was publicly funded. So actually, the grounds belong to all of us, and smokers make a massive contribution to the welfare state. They contribute over £10 billion a year in tobacco taxation. Now, that far outweighs the alleged cost of treating smoking-related diseases, which has been estimated at $2.5 billion. I've no idea where Professor Kelly gets this figure of $13 billion. This is a figure that's been dreamt up. It's come up with estimates, calculations. It's not based on any hard fact. No, I totally accept that in a perfect world, hospitals don't want to be seen to condone or encourage people to smoke. But we do not live in a utopian smoke-free world. The reality is 20% of the adult population smoke. Hospitals are very stressful places for some people, not just patients, but also visitors and staff.
But Simon, you can't have a situation where people are dragging their drips outside and smoking when the NHS is trying to make them better.
Well, I totally agree that it's a terrible spectacle to see people in wheelchairs or attached to drips outside hospitals smoking. Now,
why not stop it then?
Well, hang on. Who actually created that situation? The reason they're outside attached to drips is because a few years ago we got rid of all the indoor smoking rooms where people were allowed to smoke well away from the non-smokers, and it seemed to be a very reasonable compromise. Now, we now have smoking shelters. That seems to be a pragmatic compromise, because what you're asking is, earlier today, I heard somebody say, well, what's wrong with escorting people off the hospital grounds? Well, the very language of escorting adults off the hospital grounds so they can have a cigarette by a busy main road, I think that's totally
Professor
wrong.
Professor Kelly, why not bring back smoking rooms?
Because of the dangers of passive smoking and the dangers of cigarette smoke to non-smokers. The fact of the matter is that those rooms inside hospitals were both highly dangerous places for the smokers themselves, because not only were they smoking their own tobacco, but they're also inhaling all of the passive smoke, all the secondhand smoke in the room. But it leached out into the rest of the hospital too. And again, it's all about giving the completely wrong message. The fact is that smoking is the single most dangerous thing that you can do if you are otherwise well. The toxins in tobacco smoke are among the most carcinogenic, the most cancer-causing things that we have, and nicotine is probably the most addictive substance known to mankind. Now that
we know all that, Professor Kelly. There's not a sane adult in the United Kingdom who isn't well aware of the health risks of smoking. But the fact is, people choose to smoke, and if they want to smoke outdoors where they're not causing any harm to anybody whatsoever, I don't see why hospitals feel the need to interfere and tell them not to.
Let me read you a comment which may answer that from Ron, who's just emailed, and he says, I'm just coming to the end of a very aggressive treatment for smoking-related throat cancer. I've never had a cigarette in my life, he says. The treatment has involved the removal of most of my teeth, chemotherapy and radiotherapy to the whole area. I will never be able to eat or speak properly again. It's very hard to describe my feelings when I attend the cancer centre and I have to run the gauntlet of smokers sitting on the benches outside right under no smoking signs.
Well, I don't know the circumstances of that particular
individual. Well, he's just described them to you.
You can have smoking shelters away from the entrances. You don't have to have them near the entrances where people are passing by. But what makes these guidelines so extreme is they even cover terminal patients who are basically in a hospital, are not going to come out of hospital alive, and the NICE are basically saying, we will not allow a terminal patient to have a cigarette, which might be one of the few things that a terminal patient is actually looking forward to. And they're also saying to staff, you must not help anybody go outside for a cigarette. And what are they going to do, staff, do that? Are they going to discipline staff? Are they going to sack them? Where is this all going to end?
Thank you, Simon Clark, director of the Smokers Group Forest, and also Professor Mike Kerry of NICE. He's their public health director. Strong disagreement.